Hi, everyone. My name is Amy Coates. I'm an immigration attorney with Bash & Spiro. We are a full-service immigration law firm, and we serve clients throughout the United States. I'm here today with our managing partner, Murali Basham.
Hello, Amy.
And we're going to be talking about how a U.S. citizen can sponsor their parents for lawful permanent resident status in the United States. This webinar is divided into three sections. We're now going to move into part two of our webinar, which is about how you go about the process whereby the parents would get their visa in their home country at the embassy. So this is one way to bring your parents to the United States. Again, this is a situation where your parent is not in the United States. They're not going to be applying for adjustment of status here. They're back at home. And your first step starts with filing an I-130 immediate relative petition with a USCIS office here in the United States. I put it right here on the slide because the number one issue that comes up at this first stage is birth certificate evidence. We have many clients from India, and this comes up a lot, where either the parents don't have birth certificates, or even the U.S. citizen doesn't have a birth certificate, or maybe their name isn't on the birth certificate. That happens a lot as well.
And yes. It's usually because they're born in these very small villages where they're, in a number of countries it really applies to, but they're born in these very small villages where they just don't have good record keeping back in the day. And so, yeah, we definitely have to find a way of getting past that with the USCIS.
Right, and I also think that, I use India as an example because we do have a lot of clients from India, so I see this over and over again. But, yeah, it happens all over the world. And so what I have to do is I have to look up, and you can do this as well, I have to look up on the Department of State website to see what documents are available for a certain country. So if someone comes in and they're from a country that I'm not familiar with, there are rules, and then I will look this up and see what it says. And so what I've done here on this slide is I've copied and pasted for you what it says about India. And so if you were born in India prior to 1970 and you don't have a birth certificate, that's completely acceptable. That's the general, that's not uncommon at all. And in this situation, you have to provide two affidavits. It says here about the parents if living, but in many situations, the parents are not living. And in that situation, then I would ask other close relatives who are older than the person who doesn't have the birth certificate to do an affidavit. And we usually do those for our clients, but you can see here what elements are required in the affidavit. But the worst part about this is this non-availability certificate that's required. Now, this certificate is not required for all countries, so I want to point that out, but it is required if you are from India and you don't have a birth certificate on file. The certificate is not, it's not from any one particular government agency. You have to go to the state or the town where you're born, wherever they keep birth records, and then you ask for a certificate of non-availability. And I have a lot of clients who will tell me that they have such a hard time getting the certificate. But ultimately, I think in all cases, we've been able to get it. It's just a matter of if you have someone who can do the footwork in India for you, or you may have to hire a lawyer to get it for you. But clients are able to get it, but it's a huge hassle. Second step, and it doesn't have a 2 there, it just has a bullet point, but it is a number 2, it's supposed to be, is that the I-130 petition is approved, and then it's sent to the National Visa Center. The National Visa Center is sort of, you can consider that to be the go-between office between the USCIS here in the U.S. and the U.S. Embassy that ultimately is going to be interviewing your parent. So the National Visa Center is responsible for collecting the visa fees, and then they collect all of the required forms for the interview and all of the original documents. So basically, the National Visa Center makes sure that the file is in what they consider to be perfect order for an interview, and they will not send it to the embassy until they think it's ready for an interview. So this is different than how the process used to be like 10 years ago. 10 years ago, the visa applicant would take all of their documents and forms to the embassy, but they don't do it that way anymore. They make sure everything is ready to go here in the U.S. first. One of the documents that has to be submitted at this stage is an I-864 affidavit of support, and we did a webinar on this topic last week, which eventually will be posted on our website. But the petitioner has to show that they make a certain income or they have certain assets so that the the parent is not going to become a public charge when they get to the United States. The other thing that's a little bit unusual that people don't expect is that you actually have to mail in original documents and trust that you're going to get those back at the interview. And you will get those back at the interview, but it is hard to let go of your original birth certificate if that's the only one you've got. But you do have to send in those sorts of documents at this stage.
Regarding the I-864, what if, you know, the son or daughter who's sponsoring the parents does not, they do not have, I know we went over this in the last
year,
but just real quick, what if they don't have the adequate income to meet the poverty guidelines?
Well, if they don't have enough income today, at the moment we're filing the form, the first thing I look at is the petitioner's assets and see if they have enough equity in their home or something like that to qualify. And if not, then they can get a joint sponsor who's any other U.S. citizen or permanent resident who's willing to sign on to the case financially.
And also, Amy, you know, with cases like this, I mean, do they have to be concerned about priority dates and visa availability or anything like that?
No. There's no visa availability or priority date issues here at all. There's an unlimited number of visas available for this category.
So basically all they have to worry about is getting it done right, you know, from the very beginning, and just regular USCIS and National Visa Center and consular processing times.
Right, just the normal backlog that every embassy has, because you know, as you see in the next step here, the embassy contacts a parent for an interview. I have no idea how long that's going to take. I mean, if you're talking about London contacting a parent, well, that might take only 2 months after you supply, turn in all the documents they've requested. But if you're talking about Dominican Republic or Mongolia, who knows? You know, that could take a lot longer. It really just depends on the backlog at that embassy.
Yeah, each embassy is different depending on what they got going.
Exactly. So what they do is, you know, after the National Visa Center has accepted all the documents and they feel that the file is ready to be interviewed, they'll forward it to the U.S. Embassy and you'll be contacted by the National Visa Center or by the embassy for the actual interview date to get a medical exam done. And then when the parents go for the interview, you know, the embassy has the right to look over all the documentation again. As far as the interview goes, really what I've seen are officers who just start at the beginning of the paperwork and look through it. There's not any kind of trick questions to be asked here because it's not like they're trying to figure out whether or not a marriage is bona fide. If they have any questions as to whether or not the relationship is legitimate, they can schedule a DNA test, but I rarely see that happen. Okay, so assuming the visa application is approved, then your parent's going to get a visa stamp in their passport that's valid for 6 months. That means they don't have to come right away. They have time to wrap up their affairs and do whatever they need to do to come, but they do have to come within 6 months. On the day they step foot on U.S. soil, that's the day that they're considered to be a lawful permanent resident. At the airport, there's a process that they have to go through, and they're actually escorted to another area of the airport called secondary inspection. And the officer will go through a brown envelope that the embassy has given them to take with them through the airport and get their correct address, things like that. Then the parent is allowed entry into the United States. They're given a passport, a stamp, and their passport show their permanent resident. And the actual card will come in the mail probably 1 to 2 months after that, and it should be valid for 10 years.
One last quick question related to this, you know, topic, which is generally – with the I-130 process, you know, that first process you're talking about filing with the USCIS, which is the Immigration Service in the United States,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how long does the USCIS take to process that?
I'd say about 4 months right now. And that really varies wildly. If you'd asked me that question 3 years ago, I might have told you 8-9 months.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better over the years, hasn't it?
Right, but as of today, which, you know, let's be specific for those
right.
who might be listening to this later, we're in
August 2010.
It's about 4 months. But then after that, you've got to tack on a couple of months for the National Visa Center process and then tack on, you know, maybe 4 months for the immigrant visa interview process.
For more information, call us today or visit BashamSpiro.com to view our full media library.